Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day that you've given us to come and to praise your name. Speak, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Give us a receptive heart. And God, bless us. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If I was titling this sermon, the title would be Not Alone and Never Forgotten. And if I had a scripture reading, it would be Isaiah 43:32. So let's turn there. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 2. And when you have it, say amen. I hear a little bit of pages ruffling. It reads, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place." May God add the blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. The word abandonment, I picked three words that mean abandonment. One is to give up. Another is to leave. And the third is to desert. Family, those are three things that my God will never, ever do to you. When people feel alone and abandoned and afraid and angry at life, a resort that is popularizing, and it breaks my heart to tell you this, but the resort that is popularizing is suicide. It got quiet. Suicide is the top third cause of death in young people 15 through 24. Coming behind homicides being number two, and number one is accidents. Some feel that suicide is the unpardonable sin, but I'm not here to judge and I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to uplift and preach wonderful words of life and encourage you on today. I'm here to tell you of a Father's love that is free and you can have it today. Amen. Abandonment is a touchy subject. It can get very personal. And it's a subject that is not only relevant to the youth, but also to the adults. Some of you have sad memories of growing up without a father. Some of you didn't grow up with either a father or mother and was raised maybe by a grandmother or someone not even in your family. And I realize that is a serious subject. So for these next few moments, give God your minds. Abandonment leaves scars on people's lives, and scars remain for a lifetime. And as I was looking for stories in the Bible to preach on in regards to abandonment, I was thinking of the story of Joseph. We read his story in Genesis chapter 37, starting with verse 15. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to read it in your hearing. "Now a certain man found him." This is after Joseph's father had sent him to go check up on his brother. Verse 15, "A certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, 'What are you seeking?' So he said, 'I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks.' And the man said, 'They have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan.' So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan." Verse 18, "And when they saw him afar, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, 'Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams.' But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands and said, 'Let us not kill him.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. Verse 23, so it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. When they lifted their eyes and looked, there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on the way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brother, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come now, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listen. Verse 28, then the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Joseph was hated by his own brothers, his own family. I mean, they grew up in the same home. I mean, they played ball together, but he was hated by his brothers. And they hated him so much that they wanted to kill him. But Reuben got the idea, let's not kill him, let's just punish him for a little while. And while Reuben was away, they sold him into a life of slavery. Not job as a housekeeper, but slavery, hard physical work. Joseph, I can only imagine being all alone in a country, not speaking the language that everyone spoke, must have felt alone, abandoned, and forgotten. But I'm not here to preach on Joseph. After doing more studying of all the people in the Bible and all the stories of abandonment, I realized that Jesus probably felt the most abandonment out of all of us when he was dying on the cross for my sins and for your sins. So don't nobody know abandonment like my Jesus. The crucifixion can be found in all four of the Gospels. Each writer has a different perspective. And through the different writers, we get the seven last words of Christ. So the story goes that it had been a long night for Jesus. After eating the Last Supper with his disciple, he took 11 of them because Judas hadn't gone to betray him. He took the 11 to the Garden of Gethsemane, a familiar spot to pray. Jesus knew that his time was winding down and that the plan of salvation was going to come into action and into its final stages. Jesus took his disciple to a spot and then went on a little farther to pray on his own and have some one-on-one time with his Father. Family, when the pressures of the world just seem to weigh us down, that's when we need to find some alone time and commune with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Yeah, it's great to have people who have your back, but can't nobody do me like Jesus. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, and we'll begin with verse 39. It reads, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, I'm going to read that again. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Amen. Jesus was in agony, some serious suffering there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in so much agony that he was sweating blood. Agony is defined as extreme pain and or a violent struggle. So the plan of salvation was not fun and games on Jesus' behalf. As a matter of fact, it was a great sacrifice on Jesus' part. But it's that kind of love that should make each and every one of us feel that much more special. There's something special about the love a father has for his children. And bear with me as I'm going to try to demonstrate to you. I'm not a father, but praise God, I have a father. So I'm going to call my earthly father to represent my heavenly father as I try to exemplify what is so special about my heavenly father's love. Amen. And for those of you who don't know, this is my father, Brother Anthony Holness. There's something special about my father's love. It follows me wherever I go. You don't believe me, but it's true. There's nothing like the love God has for each one of us. There's nothing sweeter in this world. And if there is, then tell me so I can find it. But as far as I know, ain't nothing sweeter in this world than the love my father had for me. You can't outrun him. You can't shake his love from you. You can't break it. It's always there. No matter where you go, what you do, the Bible says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the ends of the world." The Bible says, "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me." He's always there in the valley of the shadow of death. Amen, somebody. My father is there, and nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So somebody help me out. Tell me, give me another verse talking about my father's love. Help me out, people. Yes, yes, amen. Yes, yes, that he gave his only son. He gave the best gift that he could possibly think of for us, for you and for me. Amen, somebody. I think I'm preaching to myself right about now. What you don't understand is there is nothing, and I've said it once and I'm saying it again, there is nothing that can get in between me and the God of love and the love of God. Amen. So thank you, Father, for helping me with that. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say here? Some abandoned people feel like a vehicle in a junkyard. And I was just in a junkyard a couple weeks ago, you know, because I'm approaching that age where I think I'm going to drive. And I don't have a job, so I need a cheap car. Amen. And so I was in the junkyard, and all I saw was abandoned vehicles. Vehicles that were pretty much no longer good for anything. And some cars were just dismantled until they were no longer even cars. You had the bumper here, and the hood here, and the door over here until there was no more car left. That car was broken, useless, and abandoned. They stripped that car of whatever it had that was worth anything on it until it was nothing or next to nothing. Some of you experience abandonment like that kid when it's recess time and they're playing kickball. And they're picking the teams, and the kids are winding down and they're going to the teams until there's one last kid, and reluctantly the team captain has to get that one kid. That kid feels useless, worthless, and he feels that he can no longer help that kickball team. If you feel any one of those things, then let me tell you right now, you are worth something. If Jesus Christ could come all the way down from heaven to die a criminal death for you, and for that, I tell God thank you every day. You were on his mind when he was on Calvary. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he was thinking of Eric Holness. He was thinking of Eric Borrero. He was thinking of Pastor Jonathan Henderson, and he stayed on that cross so that you could have a possibility at eternal life, so that I could have a possibility at eternal life. And I'm so grateful. He's, oh my goodness, what kind of God would do this for me? Give me grace and mercy. He is so special. He's just simply an incredible God. And an incredible God deserves incredible praise. Unlike the car in the junkyard and the kid who gets chosen last, God wants you. God sees your true worth. And he has a very special spot for you on Team Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the story of salvation continues. Jesus was tried, convicted falsely, beaten, spat on, and then hung on a tree. Let's read in Matthew. The book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 45. Matthew 27, verse 45. Here we go, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," meaning, my God, why have you forsaken me? I can only imagine that sound, that cry of desperation, as Jesus was on that cross, suffering physically, and suffering emotionally. The sins of humanity were causing this separation between Jesus and his Father. And as time progressed, so did the separation. And it was becoming more and more unbearable for Jesus, to the point that God the Father could not look down because all he saw was sin. Family, he became sin for us. It's like, how many of you have cell phones? And you're in the car and you're on the phone and you're having a conversation and you see the overpass and you know that you're gonna lose the call, but you gotta keep going. And you're talking, and you go under the overpass and you lose the call. That's what was happening to Jesus as this plan of salvation was unfolding. Now let's dig into that verse one more time. Jesus said, my God, for a reason. It wasn't for effect. We as a church believe in the Holy Trinity, amen. God and the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. So when he said, my God, he was calling on God the Father and God the Spirit, because the third person of the Godhead was on the cross. Amen. Family, Jesus took his last breath and died. But now he's risen. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. And because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know that he holds the future, life is worth living just because he lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives? Why? Because he lives in my heart. Amen. Amen. Family, Satan is trying to make us feel alone. Make you believe that nobody really cares about us. That was Michael Jackson's, one of his last songs. They don't really care about us. But like Michael Jackson saying, I'm going to twist the words. This is what Michael Jesus is saying. You are not alone. I, God, am here with you. And though you feel far away, I am here to stay. Come on. Maybe you used to think that you could not go on. Think that life was nothing but an awful song. But today, you can learn the meaning of true love. Lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. You can get psychological help. You know, it's not always gonna be Christian, and let me tell you, it's very expensive. But you need to go to Jesus. go to Jesus. He knows the feeling of abandonment. You say, nobody knows the pain I've gone through. Nobody knows what it's like to be grow up and be separated from your father. Guess what? Jesus understood the feeling of abandonment. Don't think that you've experienced something that he hasn't experienced. Amen. And some of you are doubting right now. Well, let me tell you something. Though he slay me and things look real bad, yet will I trust him. That's what Job said. David says in Psalms 23 that when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Skip four chapters and you'll read that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, and when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Skip seven chapters and read that I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Skip some more verses, and you'll read that the poor man called out, and the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. Skip more verses, and you'll read, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts him. Skip more verses and you'll read, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. Isaiah says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah says that when you're in the waters, he's going to be with you. In the fire, you're not going to get burned. And Paul says that I can do all things. All things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me tell you something. The book of Matthew ends with this phrase, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. God does not take a time out. God is there 24/7. God, there is no spring break in heaven. There is no Christmas break. God is there all the time. And I thank him for that. There is no vacations. God doesn't say, well, Eric, it has been a pain in the behind trying to deal with you. I'm taking a year off. No, God says, I am with you always. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Pastor. The call never drops. You know what? God has an unlimited plan. Amen, somebody. Yeah, he has an unlimited plan. So when you can't sleep and when you're frustrated and when you feel the weight of the world is upon you, guess what? He's the only one you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning and he won't tell you off. Amen. Go ahead. Just have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. Amen. He'll hear your faintest cry and he'll answer by and by. Whew. Oh, I thought I was at the Church of God in Christ for a minute. God also says something. He made a promise to Abraham. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Guess what? I have a father who's bigger than me, who I feel safe, and he got my back like that. We're in Oakland. Ain't nobody got your back. Okay, and I have Jesus, I have Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he got my back, he's gonna fight my battles for me. That is what I call blessed assurance. Yes. So the next time you feel abandoned, remember that God is not abandoned. Remember that now Jesus is interceding on our behalf. So when you feel alone and frustrated, guess what? I can say, my God, my God, my God, thank you for never, ever forsaking me. God bless each and every one of you.
Más valor que plata preciosa. Más valor que no eres tú, más valor que el diamante más bello, no podrán compararse a ti, Jesús. Silver, Lord, you are more costly. shares with you. Costly than gold, Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire, and nothing I desire, and nothing I desire compares with you.
As I set against this cold hard wall, will you pass me by? Will you criticize me as I sit and cry? I had fought so hard and thought that all my battles had been won, only to find this war has just begun. Is he not strong enough? Is he not pure enough to break me, pour me out and start again? Is he not brave enough to take one chance on me? Please, can I have one chance to start again? Will my weakness for an hour make me suffer for a lifetime? Is there any way to be made whole again? If I'm healed, renewed, and find forgiveness, find the strength that I've never had, will my scars forever ruin all God's plan? Is he not strong enough? Is he not pure enough to break me, pour me out and start again? Is he not brave enough to take one chance on me? Please, can I have one chance to start again? He took my life into hands and turned it all around. In my most desperate circumstance, it's there I finally found that you are strong enough, that you are pure enough to break me, pour me out and start again, that you are chance to start again. You are strong enough, that you are pure enough to break me, pour me out and start again. You are brave enough to take one chance on me. Oh, thank you for my chance to start again.
Morning, church. Happy Sabbath. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's always good to be a part of another baptism. We have Eric Borrero, who will be baptized this morning. Eric, if you could please come forward. Being up here, if you're afraid of water and heights, this is a terrible combination. But you're good, right? You're good? You're good. At this time, Eric's father, Anthony, would like to share a few words.
Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. I just want to let you know that I'm really excited that my son Eric is going to be baptized today. But I want to take a few minutes and kind of share a testimony and a lesson that my son Eric taught me. Just to give you a little bit of background about Eric, he was born in 1989 in San Mateo's Mill Hospital. When he was born, he had some major complications, and the doctor thought that he may not be able to live for a very long time. But through God's miracles, you can see that Eric's up there. He's a 20-year-old man. He's going to be 20 years old in October. He's as strong as an ox, and he definitely has his father's looks. So I'm very, very happy about that. So. But the lesson I want to share with you about Eric is that, you know, I know that Eric has limitations in his motor skills. I know that Eric has limitations in his communication skills. I know that Eric has limitations in his thinking and learning ability skills. So for those reasons, I used to treat him like a little baby and not give him the opportunity that he deserves to grow up like a young man. And I started realizing that Eric started praising the Lord at the house, and he was singing in his room at the top of his lungs. And those of you who were there to witness that, it was just amazing that how much he praised God. Every time he puts on a DVD, it was always a Sabbath tape. No matter what day it was on, he always liked to watch the Sabbath tapes. So my son taught me in his walk with God is that there is no limitations when you love God, and there are no limitations for God to love you back. God has accepted all of us, and God wants all of us. So right now, church family, I'm very proud of my son. And I know that all the angels are up there right now, along with our Lord up there saying, Eric, 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 because he chose to be with Eric. He chose to be with God and not the world. So for that, he taught me a lesson that there is no boundaries or barriers when it comes to loving God. So Eric, I thank you because today you are my hero. You taught me that there are no limitations to anything when you have God on your side. And through him, everything is possible. So for this son, I love you with all my heart, and I welcome you to the family of Christ.
Eric, because of your love for Jesus, because you have allowed nothing to get in the way of you professing that, because through all the challenges, you're still able to see his love and to know his goodness, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For those of you who have not made that decision, the invitation is always there. Christ is always calling you. He's always knocking at your door. Remember, baptism is not about perfection. It's not about arriving. It's not about graduating. It's about being admitted. It's about deciding to join a team that's going to win. It's choosing a Savior that actually can save. So if you haven't made that decision, Our doors are open. We invite you to talk with one of the elders or the pastors and let us know of your decision to choose Christ. God bless you.
Amen.